This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome to Postcard from Bot Brad, to the ailing group of people trying to put a radio programme together, one sitting in the Antarctic, namely me, Eric Wiltshire, and I'll introduce you to the rest in a moment. The reason we're Postcard from Poprad is because we're based in the town of Poprad, just underneath the beautiful Tatry Mountains, covered in windswept snow, and I think I'm on a boat at the moment in a Force 9 gale. But there you go. Over in the calm and tranquility of Europe, it's Lee Banks.
There's nothing calm and tranquil about it. This is the rainy lands. It's the rainy lands. It is so comical. It's absolutely appalling. This is the place time and man forgot, the UK.
Ooh, it's not like that here. And down there, up there in Queensland, suffering that she's a poor little girl today.
Oh, Rachel.
It's Rachel.
You poor little hot man.
Oh, Rachel. Rachel, say my name.
Eric.
Oh!
Rachel.
Oh!
Rachel.
Lee. Yes, Lee.
you do.
Yes,
me
I've got a touch of the flu.
Rachel, you do.
It's kind of interesting because it's really, really sunny,
Rachel,
glorious weather. So
Rachel,
I've got one of those
Rachel,
summer flus.
Rachel,
yes,
Rachel,
yes, yes,
Rachel,
yes, yes,
before
yes,
you
yes,
say
yes.
these words, can you run out and buy shares in Kleenex Company?
Oh, that's disgusting, Eric. You do sound like you'd let your fingers do the war.
No, Rachel's just got to say, hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
Shut up! Lee, shut up, ruining the... Oh! Hi to the guys at Talk Radio X Replay Radio, RTI, of course, and you wonderful guys on every other platform that we're on, which is getting bigger by the minute. And I'm awfully
That's
sorry.
Because of hot pants.
That's right. Awfully sorry, Jan. I have forgotten your niece's name, but congratulations on the wedding today over there in Prague. Hope you have a great time. And do make sure Mr. Totolensky doesn't drink too much. That'll get me fired. This is the Alternative News Show, where we try and look at things alternatively, as we do regularly each week here. And this is Lee's spot, because I don't like introducing this. I don't.
Can just before we move on, can I just make an announcement to the ladies and gentlemen, please?
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
I would like to announce, ladies and gentlemen,
you got married.
That this week there is no poem. I do not have a poem.
Good.
In fact, I would like to say, roses are red, violets are blue. No, Mr.
There you go. That's got rid of that one again, isn't it? over here in Slovakia, it is genuinely freezing. We had the chill factor due to the wind last night was minus 21. And Lee will tell you, I live in a very modern apartment, don't I, Lee?
Oh, well, it's, yeah, like, you know, like you buy a really posh rabbit hutch.
Yeah. That'll work for me. And I'll tell you, last night, boys and girls, the wind was so strong, it was actually getting through the insulation around the double glazing and whistling. It was strong.
We get that inside our cavity walls. It's really exciting.
Yeah, but your
it's like the whole house is taking off.
Excuse me, I don't want to hear about your cavity walls.
Or our wind.
Or wind.
Well, I drove down here this morning and I had to sort of drive around a tree that had been ripped up out of the road. Unbelievable. And there's literally cars being blown off the road. It was on the TV, TA3, which is like our Sky News last night. But there you go. Moving along, we're going back.
Sounds like Queensland. That's what happens here.
Nobody's going to let you do it because you've been rude about it.
What, real gone kids? Ha, got it. this is Lee's spot, so we'll let him carry on with it. Off you go, sir.
It's not my spot. It's everybody's spot. It's everyone's spot. It's a former Iron Maiden drummer, Clive Burr, has died at the age of 56. This is an
absolute. Now, do you know what? This is the first time you've done one of these, and I have known who you're talking about.
You need to get out of bed earlier, Rachel, and go and have a wander around and see things and watch the news and talk to people.
Rachel.
And really famous
Rachel,
people.
I agree with you.
Yes. And do you know what? I don't need to get out of bed earlier because I wake up in the future.
You wake up in the what?
Don't you? Yeah, very good.
Actually, I've just got that. I've just understood that. There's no foos on you, is there?
He stood up for a minute. So anyway, the Iron Maiden drummer has died at the age of 56, which is quite sad, really.
Too young.
So he had multiple sclerosis, which is also
very debilitating.
My mother's got multiple sclerosis, and it's very nasty just to watch people deteriorate after a period of time. It's dreadful, dreadful, dreadful business.
Yeah,
it is. But he lived a good life. He had a good life, and like Bruce Dickinson said, even during the darkest days of his MS, Clive never lost his sense of humour or his irreverence.
Do you know Bruce Dickinson's a really good radio presenter?
I've heard him, actually. He is very good indeed, yeah. Sounds a bit like Rachel, doesn't he? You know, that sort of.
Well, you know, I too have a sense of humour and reverence.
I know you do, Rachel. We've just never seen it.
Well, that's because I'm in Australia.
It's a bit down under. That's right.
Now, Rachel, are we down under for you as well?
Oh, that's a good point.
I think you might be up above.
Really?
Yeah, on top, aren't we?
Yeah, it's best being
on top.
Best being on top. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, dear.
Oh, no. This is terrible.
Oh, what a...
No, oh, yes.
Look at his last name. Peter Banks.
Well, why are you screaming?
Because I'm a girl sometimes.
He's excited.
Oh, is that what it is?
I become a girl sometimes. It's part of being a Mancunian. Mancunians have all this fantastic vocal range that starts down here when you're about to go into a fight. It goes up there when you're making love.
So basically what you're saying is Mancunians are big girls' blouses.
No, Mancunians have the full range of vocal accoutrements to fit any moment in life.
I'm sorry about that, boys and girls. I'm now quiet.
Lee, are you the Mancunian candidate?
No, Mancunian is totally different.
Every week, boys and girls, he chastises me for taking the mickey during our Real Gone Kids spot, The Obituary. And what's he doing this week? Taking the mick.
I wasn't taking the mick. I was talking about being a Mancunian. That's not taking the mick. That's better than being an Essex girl like you.
I'm not an Essex girl.
Well, you're not a... Are you a boy?
I'm a boy.
Do you come from Sussex?
Nope.
Where do you come from? Hertfordshire? Bedfordshire?
Bingo! You get there in the end. Anyway, Peter Banks, the original guitarist of the prog rock band Yes, has died at the age of 65.
I know who that band is too. They were great.
They were good, weren't they?
I deserve an apology for your remark back. That made sense to me. Yeah. Anyway, yes, he's died. He's died. He actually played on
that.
It is. The saddest part of it is, though, that it's actually come out that he actually played a guest spot on Lionel Richie's hit record, Hello.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Never
mind. Hello, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. That's a good song by the Beatles. Also died this week is Sweden's Princess Lillian, who was originally, believe it or not, from Wales.
She was. And she was 97.
Well, Princess Mary of Denmark's from Australia, so that's all right.
Is it?
We'll meet up, do you think?
Yes.
Perhaps they had a chat.
A Swede and a Great Dane.
Well, no, that's true. Anyway, she survived. She, quite a sad story, really, because she met Prince Bertil during World War II, and they weren't allowed to get married because of all these royal protocols and stuff.
That's right, because she was divorced, wasn't she?
Yeah, but eventually... she did get married, and eventually everything came round right. But the funny thing was, like so many other things like this, the couple themselves were absolute favourites in Sweden, and everybody loved them. So we're kind of, you know, hoping everybody gets back together in the right place at the right time, because to live together like that and be married, well, associated together, I consider they were probably thinking they were married for all those huge amount of years. He's just lovely.
He's lovely.
It's a romantic story. Don't you think that's romantic, Rachel?
I love romance. Romance is great.
Is it?
What do you class as romance?
Stop it.
Putting the toilet seat down.
What, you have to put the toilet seat down here? I've told every woman I've ever lived with, I've told about putting that toilet seat down. It's disgusting.
It is.
Are you going to kill me, Rachel?
Ooh.
Never. I can't kill you. You're too far away. But metaphorically, I won't kill you either.
But promise.
I absolutely promise.
Because I am the world's worst at the toilet seat, I admit.
Don't worry. So is my betrothed. And by the way, bit of a scoop, guys. Want a scoop?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Robbie and I have set a wedding date.
Whoa! Hang on.
What? Hey. Do you like him, then?
Go on, then.
I really like him. Robbie and I met in high school, and we've been engaged for 3.5 years, and we're getting married on June the 9th, which is the long weekend here in Australia. We celebrate the Queen's birthday long weekend.
The Queen does that
even though her birthday's in April.
Our Queen?
Our Queen, yes.
Yes, or our Queen.
Yes, our Queen.
Does have a Queen?
Yes, our Queen.
Yes, we have your Queen.
Queensland.
Exactly, and after which it was named. But yes, June the 9th, Robbie and I are getting married. Yes.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Uh-oh.
No, it's a journalistic personal question.
Uh-huh.
Fire away.
Right, I'm going to do this in my best interviewing technique voice, right?
Okay.
Rachel, you say that actually you've known Robbie since high school, and you've actually been engaged for 3.5 years. Was it a continuous romance from high school till today, or were there sort of stops along?
No.
Along the way?
Oh, no. I'd stopped and got married to a drummer. And then that went to the freezer. And then I had a beautiful daughter, and then I met Rob at a school reunion in 2008. And ever since then...
Right. So you've been together for 5, nearly 6 years.
That's right.
Gosh.
And you've never had a crossword. You've never fallen out. You've never been upset with each other. You've never had a tantrum.
Only over the toilet seat.
excuse me. Is this going to be Oprah or something?
Sorry. I thought I'd give you a scoop. Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
I've got a top tip for you, Rach. Top tip.
Yeah.
Because blokes are lazy, right? We admit it. I admit it.
I'm not lazy.
I know.
So putting the toilet seat down is a pain in the... because you have to bend down to do it. So what you do is you go to your local DIY shop and you buy one of those seats with those special springs inside. No, they're brilliant. And you just go dunk with your finger and the seat goes very slowly down. And you don't have to bend down, fellas, to put the seat down. It's great.
Yeah, but they don't work.
I enjoy putting the seat down with the finger myself. Because I get to slam it in a passive aggressive way.
Oh, I see. Like it's making the point. And the other thing I should share with you is that the Queen always does something for me every year as well.
What? She puts the
toilet seat. What does she do?
She does, you know, the Trooping of the Colour?
Oh, she does. I know this.
Yes. Typically on the 12th of June, which tends to run around quite a few years for some reason, on the Saturday, which happens to be Eric's birthday.
I know. The cheeky Queen goes and steals your birthday, doesn't she?
No, she does this great parade for me, and I say thank you on the radio regularly. Anyway, moving along, lots of your comments, by the way, on this next subject. DLT, Dave Lee Travis, has been arrested again, and I found it particularly interesting that DLT was on Sky News, nothing clever there, but he had a professional recording device in his hand, with stereo mics on it, so that when he was making the statement to the press, he was recording the statement at the same time. So nobody could misquote him. And I thought that was really clever.
Well, it was. So people should do that all the time. However, you have to make it clear to the ladies and gentlemen that actually Mr. DLT... Yeah. To use that in any way other than as evidence would have, and indeed in evidence, would have had to clear it with the press in the first place to record them.
Yes, full disclosure.
I had a problem with an MP.
I think he got it stuck right in front of everybody's noses so they couldn't miss it.
He would have to seek permission to record them for whatever. And why would people want to misquote him anyway? There is no reason to misquote the man.
I don't know.
The man actually If he's guilty, he should hang his head in shame and he should spend his dosage in dire circumstances. Mm-hmm. If he isn't guilty, he, out of everybody who's been involved in this, and this list is just endless, growing from Jimmy Savalon onwards, he's been very brave and very, very strong about it, and he should be applauded for that, if he's innocent.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually, because there's a lot of people making comments with, you know, people who believe in Dave Lee Travis reckoning he's innocent, through to people who go, yeah, right, to other people who reckon the police will be embarrassed at the end of this.
What do you base that on, though? That sort of statement, you know, people make that. People have said that about Jimmy Savile, of all people, that the police will be embarrassed that Jimmy Savile had nothing to defend himself against, even though he was dead. How can you say that this man is innocent? The police, I'm no respecter of authority or of the police, as you know, but I say that the police very rarely...
Can you stop telling people you drive a Bentley? Because they're going to find out it's going to be nick one day.
It's now one of its up and down things has gone wrong now, you know.
Is it? You really bought
there goes your there goes your romance.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Dave Lee Travis. Right. Yes. I forgot what we were saying about it.
Doesn't matter. And then there's obviously the conspiracy theorists who come up claiming that there were other people involved, but that'll never happen because they're too powerful. Yeah, right.
Well, I've got to say, and you know, everybody who listens knows that I actually covered the original hunt for Jimmy Savile a couple of decades ago, and it was all pushed under the carpet. And one thing that came out about this paedophilia thing, although obviously with Dave Lee Travis's case, we're not looking at paedophilia, we're looking at allegations of sex assault. It's a totally different thing. But the upper echelons of society no doubt were involved in some way or other in what Jimmy Savile was involved in and what his acolytes were involved in, and even up to the stage where a judge stood up and said, and this is an incredible statement for any judge to make, that in Rochdale, which was one of the hotbeds of paedophilia in the UK, and in Cleveland, the other hotbed of it back in the early 80s, actually said that there could be no involvement in any kind of ritual abuse on these estates because the people weren't intelligent enough. It took people of a higher intelligence. Well, I took that as a statement saying, yeah, all those posh people are the ones who are at it, not the thickies who live on a council estate. What a despicable statement to make.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's move on, because there was an absolute... I don't know what it was like down in Oz, Rachel, but up here there
was... Oh, my goodness.
There was a media frenzy beyond belief.
There was here too. I happened to be awake because I was coming down with this horrible flu at the time, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning when the news came through here, and I think I might have been watching the wrong channel because the chimney blew out pink smoke and I went, it's a girl.
Oh dear, complaints are coming in already. Anyway, we're talking about the latest Pope, 256th version, Pope Francis, and I must admit, it was really funny in the Chez Wiltshire because Martina was sitting there and we were watching it, and it kind of hooked you for some reason. And we're sitting there waiting for the white smoke and it come up, and we both sort of looked at each other and went, yeah, right. And bearing in mind, we live in a very Catholic country. And I said, I wonder who it's going to be then. She said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, I don't know. Wouldn't it be funny if it was somebody from Africa? And she's kind of looked at me and went, no, because there's very, very few black people in this part of the world. And as I've said on many occasions, I said to footballers when they've come out, don't think people are being rude when they look at you. The fact is they're looking at you because they haven't seen a black person before. And so don't be offended. And they go, oh, really? I go, yeah, like there ain't none. And he went, oh, okay. And, you know, I'm just sort of thinking that would be interesting for Slovakia and other parts of Central Europe. And then, of course, the word Argentina came up. And I'm being brave. I'm being calm. being calm. Because it's fair to say that in the sort of league table of things that Brits don't like, we've got Germansley.
French are above that list.
Well,
really.
French are there as well.
We don't like anybody, actually.
Well, no, that's true. and then we've
love Australians.
We love Australians.
We like Australians.
We love them. So we've kind of got this hit list, which is very bizarre, where we've got Germans, French, and more recently, after the 80s, Argentina. And the rhetoric between continues on. And I thought to myself, that's going to be an interesting situation. And I said to people, what's your views of an Argentinian Pope? And how do you think that'll be received in the UK? Well, Rado just answered the absolutely bland question, he looks so peaceful. Actually, I would have said, I wish he'd have smiled. Yeah, Pope Francis, can you smile?
I think he was asleep. I think he was. It's an exhausting process, this conclave business. Yeah. It's exhausting. He was probably nodding off. That's why he looks so peaceful.
And all that smoking as well, yeah, I know.
Smoking. Yeah. You know what I think's amazing is they allow smoking in the Vatican. Usually these buildings don't allow smoking, but the first thing I thought was Falklands.
Yes, well, some
well,
others
that's
did.
The thing. But this new... There was a theory came out... and I can't remember, actually, who said it, but it was like a Nostradamus prediction saying that Pope Benedict, you know, the one who had the eggs, he would be our last pope. And actually, although what's happened, we do have a new pope, but we do have a pope from the Southern Hemisphere. So that prediction has almost been completed. But this pope...
Actually, what you're saying is it's 50% right... Therefore, Nostradamus could be 50% wrong as well.
That, if you boiled it down, would be about exactly what I was saying, yeah. But
I wonder if Pope Francis has been rooting around under the bed of Pope Benedict, looking for those snazzy red Prada shoes. He had to leave them behind. And,
he did,
you know,
didn't he? They were nice.
Yes. Anyway, heels together three times. I don't want to be Pope.
Well, anyway, hold on a minute. Let's get some more of the comments in from the listeners because they're more important. Oliver says, I'm not Christian, and the way they treated me in college years ago, I've got no time for them anymore. Roy says, waiting for him to say on the Falklands. Funny that. Terry.
Going on about, though, isn't it? A couple of years ago, he had very strong opinions about the Falklands, and it could make quite a ground shift in the
Argentina. Yeah, it could do. Terry says, who gives a... And I've censored these other word. Duncan says... yes, sarcasm. I'm in the same immigration queue as everybody else. Ian says, I'm not Catholic, but interested in all of this from a journalistic perspective. My hope would be that the UK citizens will accept the new Pope for the person he is and his views, which we are yet to hear, and not some blinker view that he's an Argentinian and tried to steal our Falkland Islands.
I don't think anybody would look at it, the fact that the Pope tried to steal the Falkland Islands, but I think people might look at the fact that he actually he was, certainly 2 years ago, pro giving the Falkland Islands back to the Argentinians.
Interesting. Anyway, there's lots more, which I haven't got time to go through right the way now, because we're running out of
time.
Can
I just point something out, though?
Yes.
People are saying that that he is the first non-European Pope, and actually, it ain't true! We had a Syrian Pope, St. Gregory III, in 731.
Excuse me.
Bethlehem. What?
Pope Francis's parents are from where?
I don't know.
Italy and Germany.
Exactly as we said on the previous point I made, Eric, quite right.
There you go, then. That's why he spoke to the masses in Italian when he first came on stage, or whatever they call that thing, because I don't know. Anyway.
Balcony.
No, it's not a balcony. It's got a posh name. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, don't
balcony.
Need a balcony when you...
Balcony. actually, there's a serious note from John, who just says it's an opportunity for the Pope to make a sensible statement about the Malvinas Falklands and prevent... further pointless conflict.
Well, John.
Well, yeah, well said. Said that, John. Staying with the military, kind of, for a minute, an SAS man has now got to go back to retrial.
No.
This is the case of a young man who was out in Afghanistan training Afghan troops to be the law and enforcement officers out there. And as a gift, he was given a gun with some bullets. And now, he was a bit of a silly beggar bringing it back, I agree. Mm-hmm. But they actually sentenced him to prison for having this gun and some bullets.
It was 18 months at first, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. And that was just ludicrous. You know, this is an SAS guy who, if anybody in the UK knows how to handle a firearm and or weapons, it's going to be him.
So yeah, but that doesn't make him above the law.
I agree. But you can always slap somebody on the wrist and go, don't be silly, rather than going, I'm going to put you in jail for 18 months, which ruins the family and costs the taxpayer a small fortune.
I think you're right, but it is still the fact that whether he's SAS or not, remember, and also if you're SAS, you're also a trained killer, and if you've covertly hidden away a gun, but knowing that you've got the thing, just forget about it.
No, we don't know that.
All he had to do was declare he's gone, and none of this would have happened.
And they'd have taken it away from him.
Well, which would you rather lose? Your gun that you're not allowed to have, or your freedom?
Well, that is, we're getting close to the end of part one, but I'll tell you a funny story. Years and years ago,
it won't be funny, ladies and gentlemen.
A friend of mine thought it would be humorous for a birthday present, because he knows I like guns, and I'm not an owner of a gun. I've never owned a gun in my life. But he thought it'd be quite funny to take me to the Luton Gun Club, where all the police officers go for training, and book me a sort of like a training session for an hour as a birthday present. And he told everybody he was going that he's one of the sort of stalwarts of the gun club. And so we go down there, and I'm offered a 2-2 to fire, which is like shooting peas out of a bean can or something. So I go, ba-dump, 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 and they're all very shocked that I hit the target. So they thought it was going to be amusing to give me a 357, was it 357, what are they called? Fully loaded thingy. One of those things.
No.
One of those big guns with a, what they call a fully loaded wad or something.
One of those semi-automatic jobbies?
No, it's a handgun, but it's like fully done with everything.
Like, oh, yeah.
A 357, a Magnum.
Magnum, that's the one. Thank you very much.
That's the one.
So they give me one
of
these.
You've got an ice cream and you're wearing
it goes,
a tutu.
Ba-boom! And I still managed to hit the target.
You shot a monkey.
While you flew 50 feet across the room.
Exactly. And I ended up being a member of this gun club and learning to shoot properly. And one of the things I had as a training tool was a plastic replica gun. And this just carried on going around me to different places that I lived in afterwards, until one day a policeman friend, she saw it and said, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, it was my training gun for the gun club in Luton." She said, "You can't have that. You'll get arrested for it." Huh? True story. Back in part two after this very, very, very short break.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.